I want to talk to you about the difficulties an auditor may have in processing a case. Although we're still fighting for that last 2, 3, 10% of the cases the auditor doesn't resolve readily, anything you know about a case, of course, solves the easier case faster. So the stress here is really not on the difficult case. Not at all. The stress is actually on the most fundamental factors which we can assemble concerning cases in general. The primary weapons which we have are what we know about the physical universe and universes at large, the static theta, the cycle of action of the meshed universe, create, survive, destroy, the theory of communication, triangle ARC, the role that agreement plays in reality, the particle composition that comes to be effort and everything else, which is actually basically affinity. When you study particles, you're studying affinity. You see that? Should be very clear to you. When you're studying matching particles, you're studying reality. And when you're studying space and particles, you're studying communication. So the ARC triangle, of course, falls immediately below that point where theta deserts the complete pervasiveness, complete knowingness, but no action. Falls below that point where theta first makes some space, and the ARC triangle proceeds on down from there. Actually, the first point of it is actually communication. Theta takes a look, which itself creates space. Just by taking a look, space is created. Viewpoint of dimension. And the next step into that is, of course, the A part, because in order to have something to be in affinity with something, the first step of that would be to have a particle. And then we swing around into the R part of the triangle, the ARC triangle. There has to be a second particle because it takes two to make an agreement. One stick won't burn, as they say in Norway. They mean by that, of course, that it takes two to make a fight. And this is essentially the fact, the case. Now, if you could look at the ARC triangle as something that was spiraled into, first on a look, and then on a particle, and then on a couple of particles, alike or not alike, why we would see how this whole setup, known as universes, the messed universe particularly, apparently gets set up. You see that? So we've got ARC there. When we know some of these fundamentals, a case looks much easier. We have several principles which take prominence in all processing. One of those principles is that which is not admired tends to persist. Another method of saying this is that which is surviving was once upon a time detested. That's sort of a grim backwards look at the thing. There's another principle that goes in there is, well, if they all say it's wrong, I'll keep on doing it until I prove it's right. Did you ever see a kid do this? Well, your preclear is hanging onto a body, because, boy, is that wrong. If he can hang on to one long enough, though, he'll prove he's right. He's got all this space around here in the physical universe because basically he detests hell out of it. And as far as the particles are concerned, he'd rather be dead than see a particle. But he does all these things. You see, if you could keep mocking up and unmocking particles, there'd be no sense in keeping a particle around. So sometime or another, you must have mocked up a particle that was just horrible. Everybody says you ought to destroy that thing. That's other determinism. can't admit other determinisms, they say, well, I won't. Keep it around. And so we get something, like the Chrysler Building's dome, and it still sits there, architectural unsplendor. We get a military man for president. You see, that's one thing the American people have said for generations they would never do. And they finally broke down and elected a fellow by the name of Grant, and he was so dumb that he let every financier in the country loot the place, and so they said, well, now we know we'll never do that again. And so they eventually elected Eisenhower. You know, just as soon as you can get somebody fighting a terminal and closing terminals with it, well, he'll sooner or later shift valence on his opinion. A very clever thing to do. If you really wanted to make this society completely plow in to a point of where it would have a weapon for sanity, would be to write every medical doctor a beautifully printed brochure telling him how he must fight Scientology, telling him what it means to him if Scientology remains alive, describing it how awful it is, and trying to enlist his aid in stamping out this horrible reptile that is sneaking in to gobble up his practice. And he'd eventually be sitting there saying, well, all right, now give me another place where your head would survive. He couldn't help it. If he knew nothing about the modus operandi of existence, of course, it would simply trap him fair and square. Well, now, what good is it for you to know the modus operandi of existence? Well, actually, it's therapeutic just simply to know these various principles which I just got through stating. The theory of communication, C-E, cause to effect across the distance, is, of course, necessarily either a duplication or a no duplication. One or the other, or close to either, so that we get somebody trying to talk to somebody who's entirely dissimilar, and you get no communication, or you get a very janglesome communication. Here's a thetan, who's essentially nothing, conversing continually with something. What'll that do to him? I mean, all he ever pays any attention to is something. There's something there, and he's communicating with it, but he is a nothing. He'll eventually mock himself up as a something, naturally, and then he will tell you, well, I'm something. See, I'm an object. I'm a collection of particles. See, here I sit. That proves it. Well, the mere fact that there he sits must tell you there's something wrong with it. That's an unfortunate fact, but it's true. And if you want to test this out, let's find out if sitting there being something, if he is as able as if he were freely still being nothing. No, he isn't anywhere near as able being something. You have to flip him out of the body and get him to adjust the vertebrae and the old pinched nerves and pat the body on the head, and all of a sudden he's in control of and master of this body. Well, that's real good. That's fine. We return to him his therapeutic capabilities, but how long is he going to stay out there if he keeps on obsessively communicating with the body? See, it's only when it gets obsessive this communication gets bad. If he doesn't recognize the theory of communication just as part of his modus operandi of existence, why, he will sooner or later slip back into the head, maybe before the next session, maybe in a couple of months, naturally. Why, he's a nothingness communicating with a somethingness, and sooner or later he's going to get into some small failure in trying to guide this somethingness around, and of course he will conceive then that there's something wrong with his communication line, which is true. So he thinks he better shorten his terminals. You know, let's get in there close. Must be something wrong with the communication line. Well, he'll figure all sorts of things to be wrong with his communication line, such as, well, maybe I'm talking to it in Latin or something, and maybe I don't quite appreciate that the body is more delicate than I thought, and maybe so on to the sea now, and it may be that there's some interference coming in. Maybe the TV stations have a wavelength like I'm using, and maybe it's actually obeying Bob Hope. you know, there's something wrong with this communication line. And he'll go off then, doddering around, something wrong with the communication line, something wrong with the communication line, something wrong with the communication line. Well, he's sunk because it's the first point of entrance into space, and his space will collapse. What is wrong with the communication line? A nothingness trying to communicate continually with a somethingness. Of course, to get a perfect communication, the nothingness has to communicate with a nothingness at least once in a while, or know what he's doing. See? So, you get two reactions, really. A fellow go around saying, there's something wrong with my communication line, there's something wrong with my communication line. Even when he's stuck in his head, he's saying this, you know. He isn't perfectly communicating. He knows that. He knows he is a something, but he just knows that he's a body. The fact of the matter is, though, even more basically, he knows he's nothing communicating with a something. And even though he's sitting right in the middle of the something, that does not mean he is that thing. So we get this interesting problem of something wrong with the communication line, there's something wrong with my communication, there's something wrong with other people's communications. They shouldn't talk that way, they should write some other way, the style isn't quite right. The movie wasn't quite as aesthetic as it ought to be. Yap, 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 yap. All he's saying all this time is nothing is trying to be duplicated by something and it doesn't work. All right. Here we have this fellow now, the second instance, and he recognizes this principle and he's on the destroy end of the curve. You see, he recognizes that a nothing should exist where that body is. But he doesn't know why a nothingness should exist. He doesn't know anything about communication or duplication. He just knows that the best thing to have where that body is nothing. So he goes and blows his brains out. And if the society insists he has too many responsibilities to go blow his brains out, why then subterfuginously he lowers himself under the wheels of a taxi cab or steps on a third rail or lands himself. And some people haven't quite nerve enough to make a good, clean job of it, so they keep making themselves sick. And that's psychosomatic illness. That's all there is to psychosomatic illness. It's a covert effort on the part of the thetan to make nothing where the body is, but it is an effort which is balked by the society to such a degree that he knows he can't quite get away with it. So he still goes on with this faint impulse, which is just make the body sick. Don't reduce it to zero. You know that the society frowns upon killing bodies. The biggest advertisements, biggest advertisers, and so forth, on television, for instance, radio, movies, are all dedicated to a commercial to the effect that if you murder somebody, the state will get you. You know, have you ever noticed that, detective stories? And do you know that there's even a law on the statutes of every place you've ever heard of to the effect that you mustn't commit suicide? You must not commit suicide. Do you know that if you commit suicide and fail, you'll be arrested? That's right. They'll pick you up and hold you in a ward of a hospital or something of the sort, but you're under arrest, actually, for having tried to commit suicide. In other words, the society is making persist something which is not admired, which is keep those bodies alive. Well, however that may be, just amongst us girls, a thetan who forgets the prime principles of communication is in an interesting state. He tries to mock himself up as something so he can agree with the body and have some reality on being a body. And when he exteriorizes, you find he has a theta body. This is just goofball stuff. This theta body. Well, you have to get him out of the theta body, but he knows this isn't quite right because actually he'd still have to communicate with the theta body to get out of it, and so he better be a something again, and he will at least exteriorize into a mock-up. Well, you finally shake him apart and get him out there to where he's being comfortably nothing, and then he communicates with the body a short time and he starts to get very, very unhappy because he doesn't have any mass and the body does, so he can't agree with the body, so therefore his reality and incidentally his ability to perceive starts going to pieces if he's still using the body. See, he doesn't have to have something to perceive, but if he's still using the body to perceive, why, he has to stay in agreement with the body. So in an effort to stay in agreement so that he can perceive, he doesn't need the body to perceive at all. It's just one of those concatenations of logic that he got involved in. He's got to still have something, at least. So he has to have something in order to be a somethingness, so that he can agree with the body, at least to the effect the body has energy, I have energy, therefore I am in some slight agreement with the body, therefore I can use the body's eyes to see. Why doesn't he just take a look? Well, that's because the rest of the society is all involved in using bodies. And of course, using bodies themselves on the plus side of the ledger happens to be quite a game. Well, let's take a look at the individual's impulses in terms of communication, find out that when he doesn't get a duplication, he doesn't get an agreement. So therefore, in the absence of some semblance of duplication, he doesn't have any reality on his perception. Let's just look at that as the first principle. What cuts down the reality's perception? Well, it's the individual's obsession that he must have an agreement, that he has to look, and therefore has to have a perfect communication. And when he goes into that one, the next step is, well, anytime he falls out of duplication, he doesn't see. He doesn't see worth a nickel. And now we swing it on around to affinity, and we find out that if he doesn't see, then he doesn't like anything. I mean, we're just going downhill on a toboggan at an awful rate of speed. He considers then he doesn't like anything. Why doesn't he like anything? Well, it's quite simple. That's because nothing agrees with him. That's a double entendre, of course. So every time he sees something, he's liable to take exception to it. Well, if he has any clear recognition of what he's doing, if he's in fairly good shape, in other words, if he's still in a state of knowingness, of course he gets around all these things. He recognizes what they are. He doesn't have to run on a stimulus-response mechanical basis, because he is always senior to any mechanical operation, even the ARC triangle. ARC triangle is actually, for people low on the tone scale, the first step up to salvation. And for a thetan at 40, is the first step to destruction. The ARC triangle lies below him at 40, but it sure lies way above him as Homo sapiens. Well, let's take another look at the problem, and let's find out then that the individual is trying desperately to cause a persistence. Why is he causing a persistence? Well, creation, destruction are very far apart on the curve at first. And the more he believes in his ability to create and destroy, the less necessity he has to cause any form, state, or idea to persist. If he can create and destroy, he doesn't have to make anything persist at all. He can always have something else, something new. He can even have a duplicate of it any time he wants. So there's no reason to have the primary form or state of condition persist. So let's take a look at him and find out that a person who is making something persist must have lost in that department, in that category, the idea. See, he had never lost anything more than an idea. That's all a thetan can lose is an idea. If he's making anything persist, then he must have lost, in that category, the idea that he could create or destroy it. Just look at that. He goes to the center of the curve when the two ends of the curve, create and destroy, turn it missing. See that? He must believe it's necessary. He must believe that there's something about it that is worthwhile, he thinks, simply because he can't create and destroy it. Well, how does this come about? Well, it must be senior to him. If he can't create and destroy something, then that thing is his senior. And if it's his senior, then if he has any connection with it at all, he better make it persist. Persistence simply comes about through an inability to create or destroy something. One makes it persist because he can't create another one, and one doesn't destroy it either because he feels he doesn't have the power to destroy it, or because he is capable in many ways of doing it but is prevented by the society or other concerns. Now, it should follow then that there are many categories which are quite desirable in their persistence. A consecutive time track is not undesirable, very far from it. Consecutive experience of whatever kind is better than no experience at all. That's another motto that Thayton runs on. Any experience is better than no experience. Anything is better than no thing, sort of the way he operates. All right, we find out the number of things which he's causing, the prevention of destruction, and the number of things he's causing to persist are actually, basically, rather desirable to him. In other words, if we bailed him out of everything, he'd still say, well, there's a lot of fun involved in this. You see that? I mean, it doesn't all derive from a mechanical basis, you see, because he can always make a postulate and change the whole works. Let's restore to him the freedom to make a postulate, and he would change a lot of his postulates. But at the same time, there are various factors in the game which he would like to have rolling. It's only when this game gets him into exceeding trouble that he wants to knock off the whole thing. And then he starts insisting upon his rights of mechanical communication. He's nothing, so it better be nothing, too. And various other things. So he starts working down into the mechanical line, and the next thing you know, you find him stimulus response. In other words, what is the basic definition of stimulus response? It is obeying mechanical reaction. Stimulus response. Somebody says, you're a horse. The fellow says, I am now a horse. He must be obeying obsessive duplication mechanics in order to do this. Now, the curve, then, create, survive, destroy, is very important because it's telling us that there's a peak there which contains most of the wrongnesses of your pre-clear. Now, it sounds very funny to somebody in an orderly society to hear this remark, I know, but it isn't really. The thing that's wrong with people is not that they destroy and not that they create. Well, those things are not wrong with the individual. Now, we're just talking about the individual or wrongness or aberration. The creation and destruction, that isn't what's wrong. It's that S up there, that survival on the peak of the curve. After a while, in spite of all preventions, he says, I'm going to kill that guy. It's the last thing I ever do. Why has he got to kill him? Well, because the guy's surviving. If fellow weren't surviving, you wouldn't have to kill him. Sounds sort of open and shut in Q&A, I know. But the point is that you get this fellow going over hot coals and in front of the foul breath of detectives. There isn't very much wrong with being arrested except the people who arrest you. Anyway, they seldom wash their teeth. Here we have survival being causative. Well, now this is the most idiotic thing in the world, that anything that is simply persisting is causative. Well, there are certain elements there contained in S on the peak of the curve, certain elements that the Thetan, your prequel, is making survive that he almost knows darn well he detests. In other words, there are two classes of survival. One is self-determined survival. He's very happy about this, you see. It's what he elects to have survive. And there's this other one, this other category of S, survival objects and conditions, that have survived in spite of anything he did. They kept on surviving, and he went into this inversion on it. Well, I've got to help them survive. He absolutely detests their survival, and he's got to help them survive. See, he tried so hard to knock them out, he couldn't. He finally realized that these things, no matter how much he detested them, they were senior survival to him. Now, we won't try any percentage on this thing, but to give you an idea more or less of the fact that survival, the peak of the curve then, is composed of two types of elements or conditions. Let's look at it as class one, persistencies, which are not in any category objectionable to the individual, and persistences which have been intensely objectionable, which he now compulsively considers desirable. And those are the deadly ones. And in a case, fortunately, now this percentage is not true, it's just to give you some vague idea of it. In a case, fortunately, there's about 98% of the things can just go on surviving happily and everything's okay. And I mean, even if you cleared the case all the way on up to the top, you wouldn't find these 98% of the items going through the DEI cycle. In other words, they don't keep shifting up to desire and force inhibit. So, but this 2%, you find them run through the cycle a couple of times and they blow. And boy, they're hot. And the first time you strike the key survival point on a case, compulsive survival, in other words, the first compulsive survival you strike on the case that's really hot may bring you a communication lag from the pre-clear of anything from 15 minutes to a couple of hours. See? There's one there that's hot. And what is it? It's a complete communication follow-up. Why? Well, the fellow wouldn't duplicate it, and he had to duplicate it, and it won, and he wanted it to lose, and he's jammed in against it. He's fought it. He's talked about it. He's slammed it around. He's tried to figure his way through this thing, and he just couldn't get any place. And he'll finally hit a communication dead spot on it. It's just a complete dead spot. And when you hit that thing, you have hit the stupidity on the case. You just hit one of these compulsive survival items on a case, just one. And you'll change the IQ of the case. Because that's true stupidity. He is smashed into and is compulsively being an energy which he still considers antipathetic, basically. This is the thing probably which Freud called the unconscious mind. He was aware of a bundle of energy of some sort sitting around that was upsetting. And the auditor can today put his finger right on that bundle of energy. Compulsive survival. We get it with the individual once in a while. He's been operated on or shot up or made unbeautiful. And he decides to drop the mock-up. We'll just leave it right there on the operating table. Just like that. We'll leave it right there on the battlefield and shove off and go get another body. We'll leave it right there in the gutter. Skip it. Hell with it. We'll go find another body.